Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
We're thankful for an opportunity to gather together each week as a body, as a family, and worship God and all He's done in our midst and is doing in our midst. Not everybody in here this week has had the best week, and not everybody in here has had the worst week, right? Like, we all come to this space where we worship God corporately with different things in our hearts and our minds, different things going on in our bodies, as you can hear in my throat, and we all come to a different place, but the foot of the cross is level ground, and so whatever it is that you bring, there was this old moniker, Tom, that is going to distract. Do you mind grabbing that door? That's going to distract. People used to tell me when I had kids that, oh, you'll ignore that stuff. I can't. I hear a kid going, I'm like, what's going on here? Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. And I want our kids to have the freedom to be loud, so that helps. But we'll just, leave that there so I can go and worship God. I don't think that's right. I think God's big enough where we can worship Him with that stuff going on in our lives. In fact, God doesn't say, leave all your burdens somewhere else and come and worship me, and then when you leave to go back home, you can pick those up. In fact, He said, bring them to me. And so we get to do that as a family every week, individually, every day. Because if that is true, if you're supposed to leave your burdens somewhere else and come to worship God and then pick them up, then how are you ever going to be in a constant state of worship in your life, right? Because that is something that God is always, if we're constantly supposed to be worshiping God and then we gather corporately to worship God, it doesn't matter whether we're corporate or separate. We can't put that stuff away 100% of the time in our lives. And I don't think God wants us to. I think that's why God said, you just bring your burdens and then let me carry it. And so let us do that this morning as a family. Let that be kind of the place that we rest, is that we can come just as we are. We can come with everything that we bring with us, all the happiness and all the joy and all the sorrow and the sickness and the health, everything that we have, we can bring with us every Sunday. So let's do that. As a community, we've decided, through prayer, I've kind of felt like one of the places that God is leading us as a church is maybe to some different ground than we've been before. And so in doing that, that doesn't mean that we change, how we worship or anything, or, styles on Sunday morning or anything, but just I just kind of have a sense, and I don't really know the answer to what it is, but I kind of have a sense that God is doing something in the body of believers and the family that we have that's different than what He may have done before. And so a couple of weeks ago, we kind of talked a little bit about in Luke 9, where Jesus shared some of this stuff to the disciples, and He essentially gave them permission to not disparage or discourage or think poorly on the past, but to keep their eyes focused forward, right? And the kind of the crux of that text was where he asked the guy to follow him. The guy said, yeah, sure, just let me go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied to him, the man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's not to say that what is behind you is bad, but that is to say that God is doing something new and different constantly. And if we ever get to the place as a family where we're just content to do the same thing over and over and over and over again, we may find, I don't know for a fact, because I think there's times where God does say, rest right here. But if we aren't willing to move forward when the pillar at night or the cloud in the day moves forward, if we aren't willing to move with that, then we're not moving with God, right? And so I'm going to get James at some point. He's just finding out right now. I'm going to get James at some point during this time where we're talking about where God may be moving us for, to share with us a little bit about what God's been sharing with him about the pillar and the cloud, but that'll be for a different Sunday. But we've said that we're going to talk about like what God has in store for us. So we have this kind of series entitled Greater Things, mainly because that's just a generic title, because I don't really know what that looks like. You know, I'm not saying it's X, Y, or Z. What I'm saying is I think God has something different in store for Mosaic, and we need to be prepared to follow God into that. And what I will tell you is, from my perspective, God's often done it differently than I prepared for it as well. Sometimes when I think, oh, things need to be different, and I think I have an idea of what it is, and if I'm really following God, a lot of times it's different than what even I. And so that's why I want to tell you guys, I have no clue what that necessarily means. I just kind of feel like this is where we've been. So we said, so as we looked at this, as I prayed through this, I said, well, we need to set ourselves as some tent poles of what a body of believers looks like, because those are places that we can't move off of, right? Like, I think there's some places where if we move, then we're outside of the will of God. If we get away from, last week we talked about unity. I think as a body of believers, if we move past unity, we move past the will of God, right? That's one thing that Jesus told us in John 17, as he's praying to the Father, he prays, may they be one as you and I are one, and by this all men will know that you sent me. The idea that Jesus would be known for who he is, for the Messiah, the weight of that falls on us, and the willingness for us to work that muscle of unity. And trust me, it is a muscle of unity. Like, you have to work that out. It does not come easily. Many times it's a difficult thing, and I would encourage you, because this is one of the tent poles of this time that we're spending. If you were not here last Sunday or have not listened to it, I don't usually ever promote the podcast, but I would encourage you to listen to that one, because that's going to be a second one is that we're going to dive into today is love. And the reason those were the first two is because those are two places between, so there's this, if you're familiar with the gospel, you're familiar with this movement in Jesus' life where he kind of makes this transition from doing this earthly ministry for a couple years to really within a week it kind of coming crashing down in the eyes of outsiders. Like, really, I mean, the theology we believe is that's when it started to blossom. But in the eyes of outsiders, like, it kind of come crashing down itself, and Jesus was crucified. And so this is kind of the beginning of that. Or really kind of, if you follow the storyline, it really kind of happens in the middle. Like, this is kind of the middle of that week is when Jesus is sharing Passover with his disciples. And as he's breaking the bread, he kind of goes into a discourse as far as John's gospel goes. He starts this time together and washing their feet. And then they go into the Passover meal. And then they go into the garden. But in between, like, the beginning of that time together and when Jesus kind of goes and the crucifixion events start to take place, there's four chapters of John's gospel where it's mostly red letters. Jesus is talking to those guys who are there with him. And in those four chapters, twice, at very minimum, Jesus says, I will be known because of how you act, okay? One of those was the unity thing we just talked about, and one of them is love, which is what we're going to talk about today. The other two tent poles are that we're going to talk through is on mercy and forgiveness, and the other one flies out of my brain because I'm on too many cold meds. The reason that one sticks in my brain is because our friend Tom Collins is going to be back next Sunday. He's going to share with us a little about what he's learned through some monastic community packs to spend. Some of the men who are in monastic communities have made packs to spend their lives together. And if you do that and you get mad, what do you do? Because you're stuck in the same place. And how they've kind of worked through that through the scriptures and through the gospels and what that has kind of meant. So Tom's going to be back with us next Sunday, kind of share a little bit about what he has learned and what the Holy Spirit's been showing him about mercy and forgiveness. And then when I can look back through my notes, we'll all be surprised at what the fourth one is. It's not a surprise. My brain is kind of going out the window. But But this week we're going to talk about love. And so one of my favorite places to do that is John 13. And so we're just going to read the whole chapter. And I'm only going to talk for a few minutes because I want us to spend a few minutes with a little participation from you, okay? So as we read this text, as we talk through a little bit, be thinking about, because the question I want to ask is, how do we practically pull this off? Individually, corporately, whatever. What does this actually look like? I think we can put practical legs to this and say, this is what love looks like within our context, within our community, within our family, whatever, okay? John 13. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before Passover festival, and Jesus knew that hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured some water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize it now, but what I am doing, you will later understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said that everyone was clean. And when he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." And after he said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. And then one of them, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." So leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do it quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas was in charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. And as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. And I just want to stop there. One of the observations I had as I was reading this was like, isn't that like us a lot of times? We read the scriptures, and Jesus seems to be speaking plainly, and then we say, "Well, that can't be what it is." Like, they asked Jesus who it was. He said, "The one I give this bread to," he gives the bread to Simon, and they're like, "I don't know what he's talking about." It just reminded me a lot of some of the things I do. Sometimes I'll read scripture, and it says, "Wash my feet," and I have to come up with some kind of spiritual reason as to that means something different than actually serving somebody else. So, anyway. Verse 31, "And when he had gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, and so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.' And Simon Peter asked him, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus replied, 'Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.' Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Let's pray real quick. God, as we talk through what you have for us in this scripture, and there's a lot in there, and there may be more than we actually pull out today, God, would you, through your Holy Spirit, take this time, take this offering of our space and our lives, and teach us, move us, and transform us. In your name we pray. Amen. So there was this idea. So I read that whole thing really just to focus on John 13:35, and that doesn't make a lot of sense, and I get it. But I think there's stuff that happens through this story that Jesus pulls out that puts the weight on John 35. Because the weight of John 35 is, if you do certain things, then people will know you're my disciples. People will know that this is what it is. And through knowing, I'm about to leave. So Jesus, when Jesus leaves, he kind of instructs him and tells him, like, you're it. All right? He'd already kind of told Peter that a little bit. And if we're it and he's gone, how are people going to know who Jesus is unless we live in unity, unless we live in love? And so he's put some weight on that. But the interesting thing to me in this text of scripture, there's just two quick things we're going to pull out, because we can talk through a lot of things. The question is, how did Jesus love? And we can share tons of opportunities and ways in which Jesus loves just through the scriptures themselves. We know that he healed people, which was an act of love, right? To restore someone's body. We know that Jesus spent time with these men who nobody else necessarily wanted to spend time from in a theological setting, right? They didn't mind spending time with them if they were catching them fish, if there was a transactional thing, but they didn't quite get it when it came to the spiritual side of things. So that's why they're now fishing or collecting taxes or whatever it was that each one of them did individually. And so Jesus actually loved them by inviting them along into this unbelievable story. I mean, I imagine that some of the other followers may have experienced a tad bit of jealousy to not be included in those 12. And we don't ever hear it, but I kind of wonder if maybe even within the 12, there was a little bit of jealousy at Jesus' kind of special relationship with Matthew and James and John. With Peter and James and John. And so, like, there's some of that, and that was ways that Jesus loved. We showed where Jesus didn't give judgment, and he gave forgiveness. Remember the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, right? Ready to be stoned, and Jesus steps in with this unbelievable love. And so that was another way. But just in this story, we see two distinct ways to love. And so the reason I want to mention those very quickly is because we don't want to discard any of those, especially as we ask the question later of what does it look like for us to tangibly love. All those apply, right? But there's two things I want to specifically pull out of them. And one of them was that he washed the disciples' feet. There was this unbelievable act, and I think it was even stark to me. I don't know if it was to you. It wasn't normal. The fact that Jesus did this, and you could tell that it wasn't normal because of Peter's reaction. He's like, no, like, you shouldn't be washing mine. I would imagine Peter didn't get there, but I imagine if Peter was probably thinking, if anybody needs to be washing anybody's feet, it needs to be the other way around. But when Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet, he just kind of tells them, you call me Lord and master and teacher, and rightly so, because that's what I am. But now I've set for you an example. I'm this person above you, and I've set this example that says that there's nothing that you're above, right? There was nothing that Jesus was above. He wasn't above washing someone's feet. He wasn't above being called a friend of gluttons and sinners. Like, there was nothing. And Jesus said, I've set this example. There's absolutely nothing that you're above. There's no task. There's no amount of service that's above who you are. We live in a society where that can be hard. Luckily, I think, having grown up in a Christian environment, which is my story, this isn't a hard concept to wrap my brain around. I know people, and so I think the church has done a fairly good job at least telling that story. But, I mean, let's just be honest. There are places you can go. There are places you can engage with where there's certain leaders in the church who that's not their job, right? They don't do that. They have other people to do that. And Peter, I think, would have been saying that. Like, Jesus, you have other people to do that. Us, let us just do this. Like, you don't do this. And she's like, no. And he calls it out. He says, I'm setting an example of what. There's nothing that you wash each other's feet. I've served you, now you serve each other. There's nothing that you're above. And I think that's one of the ways that Jesus loved them, was by serving them in that way. I can't imagine if you've ever been a part of anything where even the symbolic foot washing kind of ceremony, if you've ever been a part of something like that, I remember, it's just coming back to my brain now. It's been a lot of years since I remember this, but when I was in Latvia, and I was 15 years old, 16 years old maybe, and I'm in this, like, they called it a bathhouse. It was basically a shack that was built out in this field, and it was basically a sauna, like this Russian sauna. And we're in there with the pastor of this church, and this dude just begins to cry and wash our feet, and it was an emotional thing because I'm like, I ain't really, I mean, we're in this thing, our feet are kind of clean. We've been wearing socks. It was kind of a different environment, right? But, and I just remember, like, that was a humbling thing. And because of the humility, like, it kind of broke us up a little bit. And it was just more symbolic. And so for Jesus to kind of do this for these guys and to tell them that, like, there's nothing that you're above. There's nothing I'm above. I've come to serve you. And so I think that was one of the ways that Jesus loved. I think that's one of the obvious things we can pull out from the scripture. But the second thing, and hopefully it's just as obvious, but we're going to pull it out, is think of whose feet Jesus washed. I mean, they were all kind of jacked up in their own way, but Judas is about to betray Jesus, right? Like, and it says in the text that Jesus knew it. Jesus knew who was going to betray him. He knew that time had come. Did Jesus keep from washing his feet? Did Jesus keep from serving him the Passover meal? No. Jesus loved absolutely without condition. It wasn't like, well, this one's conditional because I know that you're about to do this. Which, I mean, if we're honest, it flies in the face of the way that we love sometimes. I mean, and that's true for me. That's not an indictment on you guys and I'm standing here separate. I mean, that's true. Flies in the face of the way that we love sometimes. Like, it's easy for me to love my neighbor if I know I'm getting something back, right? It's easy for me to let someone have some money if I know they're going to pay me back. Or it's easy for me to let somebody have some money if I know they're going to use it for the right thing that I would use it for. Jesus did not do that in this scenario. Jesus did not look at Judas and say, well, I'm going to love you, but there's some conditions to that. In this text, it says Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and yet he's got this towel wrapped around his feet, washing like Judas's disgusting, dirty feet. I don't like feet. I'm just going to be honest with you. As a kid, when my sisters would, like, we were riding in the car. I mean, you know, obviously this was before people were required to wear seatbelts at all, much less in the back seat with kids. And we'd be on a long road trip, and we had a station wagon, and my sister would hang her feet over the side, and be like, don't touch me with your feet. Like, it grossed me out. I never wanted to voluntarily touch somebody else's feet. And Jesus has got this dude's dirty feet. He's been walking around in dusty sandals, and like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have processed and put two and two together. Sewers kind of ran openly in this environment. Like, there was nothing clean on the ground. Okay, that was why people washed their feet when they walked in. And this is how Jesus is serving the guy that he knows who's about to betray him into one of the most physically painful experiences that he's going to experience while he's here on earth. There was no condition put on that. And so with that on our hearts, with that on our minds, I'm going to read one more scripture in a second that I think the Holy Spirit has kind of given me. And kind of confirmed it in some other ways this morning. But let me ask you guys this. How do we tangibly do this? Individually and as a community, what does it look like if we love our community, if we love our neighbor, if we love whoever it is, like Jesus did? Like, what does that look like? You gotta have ideas, right? Like, I think we all know, like, what it look like if God's love shows up in Easley this week. Okay, so like physical, like actual stuff you can do for a neighbor whose husband is a little incapacitated, right? Yeah. What else?
We have to get involved in things that we aren't very comfortable
doing. Yeah.
To serve in those areas.
Okay. Do you have a specific example of? I mean, I think you're right. I think we do, but. He may have all the money in the world, but he may be really rude.
You don't know what the baggage people bring with them, what they've been through, where they are, and trying to look at it that way sometimes is hard because you just
want to
say, I like that person.
Yeah.
Or at least I do.
No, I think that's true, at least for me and you,
T.D.
Sure. I think, I would agree for me too. Hey, Roy, it's good to see you this morning.
Well, thank you. You're bringing this up, and I just want to put it in the context of those that are in here in our little community. I've been a recipient of my number of some very good things. People checking on me, people taking me places, people coming over and doing something for them. We never need to forget those that are among us also.
Absolutely.
And I'm extremely thankful.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. And that is, even in John 35, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Right? Tyler.
I think one thing we can do is try and help those who really need it. That I think it's easy to find, like, single parents. Probably goes far and away beyond you could ever think that would help them, just having that kind of time.
Sure.
Freed up for them.
Yeah. What is it? What do we not have in our community if we have all the believers who live in Easley showing the love of Christ? What doesn't exist in our community any longer if that happens? Prejudice. Okay, that's a great one. I would hope not. Or we've missed the definition of love, probably. What else doesn't exist in our culture if we're loving poverty? Yeah, I think so. I think we figure out a way we love them more than we love. Yeah. So like we get, like, I think probably the crime rate goes down, I'd imagine. There's lots of stuff that we know, I think, that happens when we start to do that, okay? Now, I don't think that it makes sense in anybody's brain in these walls that this 50, 60 group of believers here this morning, we start doing this and all of a sudden there's no more poverty or prejudice or crime in Easley, right? We do know the Holy Spirit can do much more than we could ever imagine. But what I would suggest is that we can start here, because our job is not to save all of the upstate. That's God's job, right? Our job is to display the kingdom, to display this love and this unity. And so as a church, one of the reasons that we have this set up as a tent pole in our kind of being is because if we get away from this love, then we've gotten away and we've gotten out of sync with the will of God. And so I'm going to read one more scripture for you that I want us to, I'll probably bring it up a bunch during this time over the next couple months that we're talking through this. And if you use the YouVersion app and you went on there this morning, you would have seen this. I actually put this in my notes last night, this scripture in my notes last night, and I wasn't certain that I was going to utilize it. It's not that one. I thought it was already up there. No, that's cool, Bill. I saw people looking. I thought it was already up there. But this was the, like they always have a daily verse or whatever, and they got like some graphics behind it and whatnot, and it was Galatians 6:2. And so when I woke up this morning, I saw that. I was like, well, that's just confirmation. Like, this is kind of what this does need to be included for me, at least this morning. But Galatians 6:2, Paul writes these words to the church of Galatia. He says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Paul wrote the same words that Jesus spoke in John 13, just kind of in a different way, carry one another's burdens. How many of you know if like 60 people just begin to carry each other's burdens, it starts to transform a small pocket, right? And like Roy said, it could just be this little pocket right here. But if we believe that what Jesus said is true, and I hope that you do believe it, what Jesus says is true, then people begin to know we're disciples by the way they see that happening. And then hopefully the Holy Spirit begins to work on their heart where they want to become a disciple. And then we can disciple them into this, not into cool music or a good kids program. You know, that's great. We don't want to disciple people into that. We want to disciple them into this, into love, into the unity, into being a family. That's our only task. And that's the freedom. When it talks in the scripture about having freedom, that's the freedom that we have as believers, is that we can just do the simple thing. Like I don't know if you guys follow business structures and whatnot, but in business, you have a process that you follow. And the idea is that you have the freedom to just follow the process. You don't have to control the outcome. You just have to follow the process. And then the outcome happens as a result of the process. And really, the idea in that is that management has screwed up if you don't get the results and everybody's doing the process because they set the wrong process, right? We don't have a management that's screwed up. But it gives us as believers freedom just to follow the process. Our process is just love one another, be unified. Next week we're going to talk about having mercy and forgiveness towards one another, which I think wraps itself up in the unity and the love. And so we have the freedom just to do that. All we got to do is that. And we got to trust that the Holy Spirit does what Jesus said is going to happen, that other people will know. And then we have tons of freedom in that space because our job's not really that hard. And so feel the freedom and the weight of that you don't have to do it all. You don't even have to save your neighbor. Holy Spirit does it. All you got to do is love them. That's all you got to do. And it gives us freedom to be able to kind of live in that. When I used to hear people talk about love so I just want to say this last thing because I think sometimes we talk about love. I've heard it said, I used to think this, that, well, that's just a bunch of kind of hippie stuff. Everybody's loving everybody and nobody actually does anything. I think scripture's pretty clear. Jesus says, all you got to do is love each other. I'm going to draw all men to me. You're not going to do the drawing. Your job's to reflect and display the kingdom. The ways that we can reflect and display the kingdom are through unity and through love. And through a couple, and through some other things as well. So, and I think in loving, we are working. That's not lazy, because I think when I'm loving my neighbor, and if it's a single mom who needs her grass mowed, and I got to go out there and mow her grass, that's not being lazy, but all I'm doing is loving her. Luckily, I have a guy next door who he does everything. He's like Willie. He'll cut down everybody's trees. So, anyway, so I don't know what that looks like for you guys individually, but I do know what it has looked like for us. We do know as believers that God came and he did all the work. in the person of Jesus Christ, God came and did all the work. And it gives us permission to just be obedient to him and just love people. And so keep that at the front of your brain. And like Roy said, it's not exempt from loving other people, and we're really gnarly to each other in here. This is by, you know, you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Let's start with the loving one another and let that outflow to other people. And we do that only because John 1 tells us we only do that because Christ first loved us. And so we get to come to the table and kind of celebrate that first love this morning. And so as we do, if you'd bow your head with me and let's pray. God, we're thankful that you love us, that you call us to this place of love, that you give us an example of love, that we're not left to just guess what it means to love. You didn't just say love and we have to now guess and try to figure it out. God, you actually gave us an example of what that looked like. And so as we look at that example, God, would we not over-spiritualize it? Say, well, Jesus said this, but he really meant this. God, maybe we just take it at face value. That you loved, that you served us, and that's our job too. So God, we're thankful. And may we be about our job. So God, we're thankful. We love you. And we ask that as we move into this time this morning, that you would move our hearts, dwell in our midst this morning. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.